In your Bible, you would turn first of all to the book of Exodus, and we're going to read from Exodus 28. Exodus 28, beginning at verse 1, down to verse 5, and then we shall read a few verses at the end of the chapter. Let us hear the word of the Lord. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt take gold, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. Now you've just turned to the end of that chapter, to verse 39. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint him them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. Now if you just turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 16. And we shall read from verse 1 to verse 6. Now, it's important that we bear in mind here that this was written after Aaron had lost his two sons, Nadab and Abihu. And that was a grievous day for him, not just for Aaron, but for Elisheba, his wife, the mother of these two sons, and to many of the congregation, because the Lord struck them dead because they did not keep to the strict commandment concerning the priesthood. They offered, in believed chapter 10, strange fire. And this is what God says to Aaron after that grievous death of his two sons. And the Lord said unto Moses, after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died, and the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. Amen. May the Lord help us in the understanding of this portion from his holy word. And the word I want you to focus on here, I trust to come back later, is the word atonement. All these regulations and laws were for the atonement of the people of Israel and for Aaron and his sins. And that work of atonement is one of the most important works that we read of in Scripture. It's the very heart of the gospel. It's the reason why our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ came into this world, to reconcile sinful man to a holy and just God. And he did that through the sacrifice of himself, in shedding his blood as that perfect sacrifice at Calvary. Now that fact is important to bear in mind. Now, as we have read those 3 portions of God's word, you may have noticed there's a fabric that keeps coming up time and time again. And the fabric is fine linen. Fine linen. Now let me put this to you, that garment, that fabric, is one of the most significant and symbolic garments in the whole of Scripture. We read of it more times than any other garment. In fact, the actual word linen appears 108 times and references to fine linen when it's referring to white coats or to flax, occurs 140 times. So you see how important it is. I must confess, I found this a blessing in researching this, and it may seem a peculiar subject to take, and it's one that I've never taken before. But I do so because over the past few years, in fact, when I've been preaching on the life of Aaron, the last sermon I preached was on the garments of Aaron. And we looked at the breastplate. And if you recall, I brought out application to us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and ourselves concerning the breastplate and those 14 stones, the 12 stones on the breastplate and the 2 on the shoulders, the significance of them and how they represent us as the children of God, that we, as those precious stones, are precious to Christ. We are gems. We are jewels in God's sight. And that garment speaks so much of how the Lord Jesus loves us and keeps us, and has come into this world to save his people from their sins. Now, with God's help, I hope just to look at this subject, and I must confess, I feel a bit of my own weakness, and I do hope my voice holds out. As you know, I was ill doing earlier last year in June, And that's when I tended to preach on this subject of the linen. But as you know, I was in hospital. So if I keep taking a sip of water, bear with me, because with this subject, there's something for the young here and for us all concerning this subject. Now, I said four things about Aaron's garments which were unique. And these were the four things. They were of God's design and pattern. They were of God's ordering, not man. They were made to typify by the Lord and work of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The people that made them were persons that were filled with heavenly wisdom. We read that in Exodus 28, 1-5. God filled them with wisdom and understanding. A wisdom not of their own. Now that is important to remember. It was of God that they made these elaborate garments. They were holy garments, set apart and sanctified. In this they had no equal at all. Now the subject before us is immense, but I want to bring out how this linen garment typifies and foreshadows so much regarding the future and the fulfillment of this work. You know, one of the undeniable proofs that this word of God, our Bibles, is truly his word, that is inspired of God and not of man, it is God's work and not man, it's this whole aspect of the typology that we see in the Old Testament, the symbols there. And thousands of years later, this comes into its fulfillment. We see it with prophecy, the prophecy that we have in Scripture. You know, a third of God's word is prophecy. And so much has been fulfilled in the future. You know, there are 25 prophecies concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, which were all fulfilled on the day of the crucifixion. How remarkable. You can't, statistics can't comprehend that. That so much of what was said thousands of years ago was fulfilled in that 24-hour period. But it all shows that God has written this word. It was not of man. I think I mentioned this last time. Every garment and thread, item and colour, cloth and material bring forth something of the grandeur and glory and wonder and greatness and wealth of Christ. Every garment, every thread speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of our early fathers, Augustine, Christian fathers of Hippo, said this. You probably know this, but it's worth noting at this time. The new is in the old concealed. The old is in the new revealed. I say that again. The new is in the old concealed. The old is in the new revealed. And that is so important when we come to consider the garments which Aaron wore. And we know this is not speculation. The book of Hebrews explains so much about the priesthood and the tabernacle. God's hand was upon these authors that wrote these things. Let me say, first of all, that the holy garments prefigure the perfect and sinless righteousness of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the high priest was foreshadowing when he offered that atoning sacrifice of his own sins in Israel's. Christ is our great high priest. Hebrews 7:26 says this, "For such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." That is the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. The linen is prefiguring that. All the rituals, the washings, the ceremonies, the sacrifices, the pure linen coverings, all alluding to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ as our great high priest. And this is why it was so important that Aaron and his sons and the priesthood kept to the law meticulously. They must not deviate it from it, because the work of Christ was sinless, faultless, and they must try to show that in the sacrifices that they were doing. There's something else also about the character of our Lord Jesus Christ in this fine linen. Did you notice that it was broidered? In verse 4, it was broidered. And then at the end of the chapter, we read embroidered. Now, these garments were made for glory and for booty. We see the glory of Christ's work in atonement. The beauty of it was in the embroidering. Embroidering is interweaving fine linen and garments into the linen itself. It was a glorious pattern to behold. They were expert people to do this embroidering in the linen. And that was the beauty of it. People were amazed at the skill which was given to them to make this garment look beautiful and desirable. Now you may think, well, we read in Isaiah that there is no beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should desire him. His visage was marred more than any man, such of his sufferings. But there was a beauty there that only his loved ones saw it. The beauty of his humility, of his gentleness, of his love, of his tenderness. The disciples said, "We saw him full of grace and truth." How Mary and Martha and Lazarus loved the Lord, because they saw the beauty in his character and his voice and his work. And that is an important aspect concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's tragic, really, that millions never see this aspect of our Lord Jesus Christ, his beauty and his love and compassion towards his people. You know, there's a verse in Lamentations, "Behold, all ye that pass by, is it nothing for you, all ye that pass by? Behold, my sorrow is not compared to any sorrow." I wish in a way that text could be put on the poster outdoors. All those that pass by day, is it nothing to you that Christ should die and suffer? Won't you give a moment to seek him and to know him? Yes, friends, there is a beauty there. Now then, with this fine linen garment, as I mentioned, it's mentioned 140 times in Scripture. It's first mentioned in Genesis 41 regarding Joseph. There are 50 references in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers regarding the tabernacle and the making of the tabernacle. Linen is involved. Ezekiel and his vision in chapter 9, he sees a man with an inkhorn going round marking people's foreheads. That man was clothed in linen, an angel clothed in white linen. White linen, also in Daniel chapter 7, 10 to 12, there's a theophany of the Lord Jesus Christ and of an angel clothed in white linen. Angels, the visions that people have them, are clothed in white linen. You know, our Lord, when his body was taken down from the cross, we read 10 times in the Gospels. In each Gospel, we read that the Lord was wrapped in white linen. And there is a sense, although it specifically doesn't say, that when our Lord was hung upon that cross, crucified, you read, they took off a garment. The garment that was upon him when he marched up Calvary's Hill, it was stained with blood. But those at the cross, in the fulfillment of prophecy, they cast lots for that garment. They wouldn't rend it because there was a beauty in that garment. It was woven. It was without seam from top to bottom. That is one of the characteristics of the fine linen garment. So it may well be that our Lord's very garment was stained with blood, and those fine linen in which he was wrapped to be placed into that grave was stained with blood from those awful wounds that he received from the hatred and the scourging of the soldiers. But it was all typifying the priesthood, or the priesthood was typifying Christ and his perfect atonement for sin. Linen, then, is symbolic of holiness, of moral purity, spotless righteousness, undefiled, sinless perfection. It's also symbolic of honour, of status, nobility, high office, wealth and riches. It was the garment of kings and royalty, symbolic of beauty and glory. But it's also symbolic of our status in glory. It's all here in Scripture. And what I plan just in this time which is left is just look at two main aspects of the fine linen garment. I want to look at it naturally and then spiritually. Naturally, linen is a provision of God. We learned yesterday, didn't we, at Exeter, that manna was God's wonderful provision for his people. And he provided for them throughout their history in the journey into the wilderness. And so it is with clothing or raiment. Just turn a moment to Matthew 6. If you have your Bibles, familiar words to you from the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what it says: wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? And you know, raiment is a provision of God, a wonderful provision. And we know why, how God first provided Adam and Eve after they had sinned and they felt shame and guilt. God provided clothing for them. They sewed fig leaves together. That was not sufficient. It must have been blood that had to be shed to atone for that sin. And it was the skins of animals. But the point is that God first gave that clothing. And it was not only that. God, on that fourth day of creation, created herbs and grasses. And from those grasses, there was flax. The flax for linen. And God provided that flax because, you see, Adam and Eve couldn't have continued wearing those clothes. They may have done for a time, but they needed some smoother clothing. They needed something to cover the skin. With Cain and Abel, as they were born, they would need covering for them. And so God wonderfully provided this garment of linen. God, in his mercy and goodness, provided from the third day of creation a type of grass, a plant in which a fine cloth could be manufactured and woven, known today and throughout biblical history as flax. Now, I'll just read this about flax because it is interesting, but it's also important. A plant which grew in abundance throughout the ancient world, especially in Egypt. The plant grew to a height of 2 or 3 feet. The fibres separated from the bark and seeds soaked and laid in the sun to dry and to be bleached to produce its natural white colouring, beaten out, drawn by a comb like intimate unto fine threads, for weaving onto prepared looms. Now, our brother here knows all about flax and combing, but linen was special. It was fine. It was a texture that was like silk. It was soft. Garments could be provided without knots or joints. It gave an overall small appearance. It was luxurious. I was interested in that verse we read that, consider the lily of the fields. And I thought, you think of a flower, a lily flower, its texture, how soft it is, how the beauty of a lily. And linen's like that in its texture, a softness, a gentleness, and a beauty of its own. Linen also was long endurance. It was durable. Items of linen clothing discovered in good condition in the tomb of the pharaohs. Finest samples of linen cloth obtained in the 1900s by the British Museum, dating from the time of Moses, had more threads to the square inch than any other material known at that time. You think of that. There was nothing to equal it from the time of Moses to the 19th century. It may still be true today. It'd be interesting for our young people here to make a list sometimes, of all that God has provided in nature to clothe us, the different materials. Make a list, and then make a list of what people call man-made materials. You may be surprised at that list, but it's a good exercise that we might learn that God has provided not only linen, but other materials. I won't mention them. It's good for you to think about that. But it's all of God's provision. And you see, God has given wisdom into people, into his people, to weave on a loom and to make that linen so fine and perfect. And the best place for making linen was Egypt. There's several references, I'll just read one to you, concerning the linen of Egypt. 1 Kings 10, verse 28. And this is what we read. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen yarn. The king's merchant received the linen yarn at a price. If you wanted the best of linen, you got it from Egypt. Egypt, where flax grew in abundance because of the Nile Delta. And it was costly. And there's several verses in God's word which speak about linen from Egypt. And why do I say that? Because, you see, the Israelites spent all those years in captivity. And we know that Moses was well learned in the wisdom of Egypt when he spent those years there from a child till he was 40. And I'm sure that some of the looming skills or the needlework skills were taught to those Israelites there in Egypt. They learned the trade. Yes, they were given wisdom of God, but they were cunning workers. They knew it, the craft, the needlework. And God used that skill when it came to building the tabernacle and making these holy garments of beauty and glory for the priesthood. I read some commentators, and they couldn't understand how they got the skill from. And it was a puzzle to them. But it was certainly of God, but it was probably also the skill was learnt there during those years spent as slaves in Egypt. And you know, there's a verse in Isaiah 19:9 that when God pronounced judgment upon Egypt, which he did in Isaiah 9, one of the results of that judgment was he sent confusion upon those that worked in needlework and in flax. Such was the glory and the wealth of that skill that when Egypt fell, that skill went. They didn't have the ability to do it. The first result of the entrance of sin was to discover, man discovered his nakedness. He felt guilty and wrongdoing. You know, when one is ashamed, one blushes. And Adam and Eve felt ashamed. They blushed. They did not want to stand before the presence of the Holy God without clothing. And since the day of Adam and Eve's first transgression, nakedness has always been associated with shame, a feeling of humiliation, of disgrace in the eyes of others and amongst themselves, demeaning. And we know this because of Noah. That son of Ham saw Noah's nakedness and he was cursed. He was cursed because he looked upon his father in that way. But God, and you know, ever since that time when Adam and Eve sinned, humanity has always clothed themselves, male and female, covering themselves, not because of the cold. It wasn't cold. It was because of the shame that it brought to them. You know, animals have no desire to cover themselves. You know, your children here, when you so often buy a book, you see animals clothed. They've got clothes on. I'm not quite sure they do, but it's one of the aspects, as you know, of many children's books. But animals weren't designed to have clothes. There was no need for it. There was no shame in their covering naturally that God had given them. But you know, also, animals have no ability to blush. No ability to blush. I didn't realise that till last year. And it's a problem to evolutionists. Why is it that man blushes? And the definition of blush is a red glow on the skin caused by shame or guilt. That's from a dictionary. And that's why God has provided a covering, clothing for man. Now then, that's to do with clothing and its reason and purpose. The second thing about clothing is a symbol of honour and glory. Now, the first reference to linen in the Bible is an interesting one. There is a word for the first mention of something in the Bible. It escapes me. One of you might be able to tell me later, but there is a word for it. But the first mention of linen in the Bible is found with Joseph in chapter 41, 39 to 42. And Pharaoh said, I'm just trying to, 39 to 42. It's about when Joseph is brought out of prison and Pharaoh clothes him and puts on linen garments. Here we are, sorry, it is 42. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in a vesture of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, and bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And it's quite remarkable, isn't it? About Joseph. You see Joseph, we know that he was tempted, but he overcame that temptation. Here is Joseph in a prison. He's been there for several years. He's got prison clothes upon him. He's almost given hope of ever being freed from that prison. And then suddenly, he is taken out of prison. And those clothes are taken off him. He's given his liberty and stands before Pharaoh. And as you know, he interprets his dream and he's clothed in these fine garments, in this linen. It's a symbol of honour that Joseph had. He was the second ruler in Egypt. And we see it because of his interpretations of Pharaoh's dreams. But you know, there's a picture there, isn't it, of our salvation. I was only reading recently of a man who was imprisoned in Russia, and he was in a similar situation to Joseph. He was only in prison because of his faith, and there he was in this hole, they called it, appalling conditions, terrible cold, and gave him the basic of food, and he'd been there for 5 years, and suddenly he was released. He got his freedom. But there are those that perish, Christians who are in prison, who perish because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and because of their determination to witness. And they die in prison. But after death, they are glorified and they are taken into heaven and they are clothed in fine linen. Let me just read to you from Revelation. You know, fine linen occurs 12 times in Revelation. It's the theme of Revelation and glory. And this is what we read about Sardis. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That is the promise to all those that overcome sin. All those, O Lord, that put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's that sudden transformation for many of God's people from a prison cell like Joseph, and then clothed in linen. They are given honour because of their faith. They are made kings and priests in heaven. It's a glorious picture. What do we read in 1 Corinthians? We shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And that's the experience of many of God's people. Now there's another example, which I won't go into detail here because of time, and that is Mordecai and the honour that he received. You know the story about the Jews and Esther and Mordecai, the uncle of Esther. There he is in sackcloth. He's in a desperate, he's fasting. The Jews are all going to be slaughtered. There seemed no hope. Haman was preparing those gallows to hang him upon. And then King Ahasuerus has troubled thoughts. And he reads about Mordecai. Fetch him. And what does he say to Haman? What shall I do to the man that I desired to be honoured? And Haman thought about himself. But it wasn't for himself. It was for Mordecai. And what do we read about Mordecai? He was clothed with fine linen. His sackcloth came off and he was honoured by the Lord. And you know, friends, the Lord, there's a promise in God's word, those that honour me, I will honour. It may not be in this life, but that honour is being reserved for his people in glory. So that's the natural. And we see it in Joseph and Mordecai, but we see the spiritual significance on it. The honour bestowed upon each and every believer. I just want to consider just the spiritual aspect of it. The priesthood and Aaron and his sons and progeny is a typology of purity, of undefilement, spotless righteousness, sinlessness. We come now to what is the most important aspect of fine linen and the garments that which the priesthood wore. There are particular relevance. The linen clothing was not only vital for Aaron as a high priest, but to every high priest following every Levite who was consecrated as a priest. In their ministration, in the function of priests, only the linen fabric was to be worn. This was to continue throughout the next 1500 years. And we read about that, didn't we, in Leviticus 16. Those details which the Lord gave to Moses to dictate to Aaron after the death of his two sons, the garments that had to be in linen, the breeches and the whole attire, the mitre, they had to wear linen because of the significance of what they meant. In the early study of Aaron as high priest, we learnt an absolutely essential requirement was that it was holiness. This quality had to be evident far more than all other Israelites in that congregation. Living by laws more stringent, they had to have a high moral standard in marriage, in holy conduct, in behaviour. They had to be seen without blemish or defect, purified by ritual washings and sacrifices. They had to be separated from everything unclean. Can you see the purity that they had to try and foreshadow in their conduct, in their moral lives? This is why they were wearing the fine linen. And you know, there had to be no sweat. No sweat. Now, this is another aspect of fine linen which I found most remarkable. And this is from Britannica. And this is what it says about linen. The cloth is smooth, lustrous, long-lasting, highly absorbent, dries quickly. It is clean and cool to wear. It launders extremely well. Now, that's not from Scripture. That is from a description in the Encyclopedia Britannica. Now, whether that person knew Ezekiel 44, 17 to 18, I doubt it. But this, remember, is 1,000 years later in Ezekiel's vision, which he had from Ezekiel 44. And I'll read it to you, verses 17 to 18. And it shall come to pass, this is the priest, when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. Now, why was that? Because sweat was the result of sin. It is said that before the fall, man didn't sweat. But because of the fall, God said, from the sweat of thy face, thou shalt eat bread. Now, this linen here, what do we read? It was highly absorbent. It dries quickly. It is clean and cool. You just imagine the high priest going into the Holy of Holies, which he did once a year. He only had to wear that linen garment. He had to lay aside all the other garments. He was there. You imagine how hot it would be. It was covered with badger skins and with goat skins in the heat of the wilderness. It would make him sweat. But that linen garment absorbed it. So there was, even the sweat had to be removed in order before he could make that atonement for sin. And the other thing is, it launders extremely well. And we know the high priest, when he went in into the Holy Holies, he had to scatter the blood over the instruments there to atone for the sin of the people. And that blood would go onto his garments. You think of the washing that needed to be done, not just the high priest, but on the priest. But linen was extremely well for laundering. It cleaned well. The atonement was one of those special days in the high priest's life. And the day was without doubt the most significant of the year, especially for the high priest. Everything had to be conducted exactly in a precise pattern which the Almighty God had commanded. Remember, God said, lest ye die. You must keep to this order. God's appeasement and acceptance of the sacrifice on this annual occasion was vital, not only for the priests, but the whole congregation of Israel. And you know those bells that had to were there, and when they heard those bells, they knew that atonement was accepted. It was on this day that the high priest, the only day of the year, that the high priest entered the Holy of Holies, and before entering the most inner sanctuary, the high priest only wore the garments, the other robes were not worn. He shall put on the holy linen garment, we read in Leviticus 16, 3 to 4, coat and linen breeches and girdles. When the high priest stood before the thrice holy God to offer the atoning sacrifice, his pure white linen garments, this signified spotless righteousness, the perfect sacrifice of God's only begotten sinless Son. who alone could be the propitiation for all the sins and the transgressions of his own elect. So we can see how important it was and how significant it was for Aaron the high priest, all foreshadowing that sinless, perfect sacrifice of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now, just my final point, and this is a more glorious one. You see, every believer has this prospect, this joy, when we enter heaven's courts. Our final consideration of the fine linen garment is spiritual. We come to consider the final consummation of all things, our internal glorious state in heaven, that abode where nothing that defileth can enter in. You see, that's why the priests had to, when they went into those courts, not just the Holy Holies, that very forecourt, they had only to enter in those white garments. It signifies they were not defiled. And no one get into heaven that defileth that place. And so that is why it's so important to have this clothing of righteousness. Now, it has been seen in shadows, in metaphors, and other examples from the whole history through the priesthood, that all that will stand before the mighty God must have a covering, which God must, a covering which atones and justifies for that righteousness that we have before God. And I just want to read these two verses to you, which bring this glorious truth together, this weaving of this perfect righteousness of Christ and the fine linen. In Isaiah 61 and verse 10, we read this: I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Now, if we turn to Revelation 19 and verses 7 to 8, this is what we read. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. There we see the comparison of the fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints, and the salvation which God has wrought through his only begotten Son of that perfect righteousness. We must ever thank our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ for that great atoning sacrifice which he's made that we might enter heaven's glory. There are many references that we could turn to in Revelation. I should just read one or two of them. White garments are given and not earned. In Revelation 6:7, we read this concerning the white garments. We cannot earn our salvation. They have to be given to us by God. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said of them that they should rest for a little while, a little season, until the fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed and they were which should be fulfilled. So we cannot earn it. They are given by mercy and grace to us. Blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. And that covering can only come through the precious blood of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That robe of righteousness which we read of in our first hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my booty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds in these array, with joy shall I lift up my head. The standing of the believer in Christ before God, not having their own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God, glistening raiment, clean and bright, refined, gloriously clothed with Christ. I know Revelation is a very symbolic book, but you know, personally, we hear so much about the white garments, the linen garments in Scripture, worn by angels, worn by even our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in the theophanies that of his appearing. And I personally think we shall wear these white garments. And I may be wrong there, but I read of it so much. And you know, when we see those white garments, there will be a constant reminder to us. We need no other clothing. There will be a constant reminder to us of the righteousness, not of our own, which Christ has purchased for us, before us continually. It's a glorious thought. The linen garments of the priest order were for a period of time. Christ coming as our great high priest brought that order to a conclusion. But those white garments that we shall wear are not just for time. They are for eternity. For eternity. I just want to close with a word of scripture again from Revelation 7 that reminds us of that glory which awaits the people of God. And it's from Revelation 7. If I can just find the reference there. Here we are. After this, I behold, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the Lamb, sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be unto our God for ever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered me, saying, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And they said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I'll leave these remarks there. Hallelujah. Amen. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for our time together and for the glories of thy word and this wonderful prospect that each believer has before us, knowing that these things are true and real. So we come, say, O Lord, come, Lord Jesus, quickly come, and bring thy ransomed people home, where we shall dwell with thee forevermore. Hallelujah, be unto thee. These things, O Lord, we ask and pray in our Saviour's name. Amen. Amen.